The life of Moses has many layers. He was a man that was born to be the deliverer of the people of Israel. Moses was drawn from the Nile River after he had been placed in a basket by his mother in hopes to save him from the slaughter to come. He was raised in the palace and was destined to be a carrier of God's glory to a generation that would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses was a man that was also a prophet, and he would transcribe the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Torah. He would be the man who speaks to God face to face, as one who speaks to his friend. Moses was also human in that he expressed anger, disappointment, and even regret, but he would speak to God on behalf of the people and be a type for the New Testament Messiah that would deliver the human race from the curse of sin. Chapter I, the birth of the deliverer according to the Bible in Genesis chapter 37, 24. Joseph is the youngest son of Israel and is thrown into a pit, sold into slavery by his brothers, and is then taken to Egypt. After false accusations and years of imprisonment, God redeems Joseph and elevates him to second in command only to Pharaoh. This enables Joseph to employ his administrative gift and store up grain for the coming famine. Through the course of events, Joseph's father, his 11 brothers and their families move to Egypt and are spared from death because of Joseph's preparation. The Bible also states that the descendants of Israel grew in number, and many years later, the current Pharaoh had forgotten about Joseph and what he had done to save Egypt. Exodus chapter 1, 6-14. Pharaoh was afraid that the Hebrews would cause a revolt and try to overthrow Egypt. The Pharaoh consulted with his advisors, and they instructed the midwives to suffocate the baby boys that were being born. They were also instructed to let the baby girls live. The two midwives, fearing God rather than fearing man, told the Pharaoh that Hebrew women would give birth before they arrived to assist with the delivery of the babies. Therefore, they were unable to carry out this grisly task. The Pharaoh then tells his people to cast all baby boys born to the Hebrews in the water to drown, yet the girls are permitted to live. Upon hearing the news, the parents of Moses hid their infant son for about 3 months, and when they could no longer conceal him, they placed him in an ark made of bulrushes, placed Moses in the ark, and set the ark adrift down the Nile River. They then trusted the God of Abraham to protect their son. Little did they know that their time of bondage and captivity was approaching the end. Moses' sister followed the ark as it floated down the Nile. The daughter of Pharaoh was bathing in the Nile, and she sees the ark. She opened it and saw the child, and the Bible says she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Exodus 2:6. Pharaoh's daughter sent for Moses' mother and paid the woman to nurse Moses. He grew and was raised and educated in the courts of Pharaoh. The name Moses means "I drew him out of the water." We can learn so much from the faith of Moses' mother, Jochebed. As a mother, she probably weighed out her options about Moses' safety. She could have kept him in their home, which would run the risk of him being killed by the soldiers. Hearing God's voice urging her to trust him or to keep her baby safe, while setting him adrift down the Nile. Either way, his life was in imminent danger. As I read this story, it speaks of her courage and faith. I am encouraged by one mother's love to see her child live and fulfill his destiny. Chapter 2, Moses, thinking he is somebody. Moses, being from the house of Levi, yet raised in the court of Pharaoh, sees the injustice of the Hebrew people. He sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and decides to take matters into his own hands. The Bible does not state how Moses knew that he was a Hebrew, but in chapter 2, 11-13 of Exodus states Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. 12 So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. 13 And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, Why are you striking your companion? NKJV one can speculate that while Moses had been raised in the courts of Pharaoh, he was still being nursed or weaned by his own mother, possibly until the age of 3 to 5 years old. I can also dare to speculate that his mother told him his identity as a Hebrew and how God had spared his life, therefore, giving insight to having a divine destiny for him. Being that Moses was the nephew of the Pharaoh and lived in the palace, he was probably being groomed to be Pharaoh one day. This is where I believe pride gives way to Moses, and maybe for a moment he thinks that he knows better than God. Moses takes the life of the Egyptian, who, in theory, is supposed to be his brother too. Moses is confronted by the Hebrew slave that had been beaten, and is asked who made him the judge over the Hebrews. Moses, being convicted, thinking that everyone now knows what he did, decides to flee to the area of Midian. This is the one choice that alters Moses' life, which could have perhaps delayed freeing of the Hebrew slaves. Nevertheless, it is God that chose Moses, as his man. God had the time to wait until Moses learned valuable lessons in the wilderness of Midian. Moses meets Jethro, the priest of Midian. Jethro has 7 daughters that were shepherdesses. While the daughters were at the well tending to their sheep, they had an altercation with a band of shepherds. Moses comes to their rescue. As an act of goodwill, Jethro offers Moses one of his daughters to take as his wife. Moses marries Zipporah and she bears him a son. They both dwell in tents with Jethro, and Moses tends the flock of sheep in the desert of Midian. I believe in this desert time Moses learned some powerful lessons about God, life, people, and most of all himself. I do not believe for one moment that the time Moses spent in the desert was a waste of time. I believe it was time of spiritual growth and preparation. I think that one very valuable lesson that he learned was that you run from your problem, but you cannot hide and it doesn't go away. You have to deal with it. Chapter 3 A burning bush that is not consumed. Moses is in the wilderness tending the flock and he comes face to face with this bush. It is clearly on fire but is not being consumed. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the flame. God identifies himself as the God of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and then God instructs Moses to remove his sandals, because he is on holy ground. Moses hid his face, and was afraid to look upon God. God has a conversation with Moses and tells him that he has seen the oppression of the Hebrews, has heard their cry, and their time has come to be free. God says he will lead his people to a land flowing with milk and honey, as spoken of in the Bible as the promised land. God tells Moses that he is the one that he is sending to confront Pharaoh and not to be afraid. Moses asks God in Exodus 3:11, but Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? NKJV. I believe that after 40 years of herding sheep, Moses learned humility and God was able to use him for such a time as this. Moses talks to God and asks God his name, which he replies, I am that I am. God tells Moses that when he speaks to Pharaoh, that God will be with him. Yet, Moses says that he is slow of speech, In Exodus 4:10, so God allows Aaron to relay the message of God through Moses. Although Moses had probably received the best education and military training that the Egyptians had to offer, he felt inadequate and intimidated to confront the Pharaoh. The years Moses spent in the wilderness was to work out his character training, humility, and teach him how to hear the voice of God. Chapter 4. Moses confronts the Pharaoh, and the plagues begin in Chapter 5:2 of Exodus. Moses confronts Pharaoh, and asks Pharaoh to let his people go. Pharaoh responds, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Pharaoh is then agitated by Moses and Aaron's request. As the Israelites make bricks, the Pharaoh takes away the straw to make the bricks, and tells the Israelites to gather their own straw. This increases their workload and they too are agitated against Moses. The people grumble against Moses and tell Moses, if they do not make their daily quota of bricks, they will be beaten. Moses goes back to the Lord and asks the Lord why he has chosen him to lead these people. The Lord assures Moses of Israel's impending deliverance. Each time Moses and Aaron go to the court of Pharaoh, they ask Pharaoh to let the people go. Pharaoh rejects Moses' request, then Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Moses and Aaron confront the sorcerers of Pharaoh, as they are asked to perform a miracle. Moses throws down his staff and it turns into a serpent. The sorcerers of Pharaoh also have a staff and their staff turns into a serpent too. However, Moses' serpent devours the serpents of the sorcerers. This incident makes Pharaoh's heart harden. The first of 10 plagues is about to descend upon Egypt. Each time Moses approaches Pharaoh and asks him to free Israelites, the Pharaoh rejects Moses' request. The first plague in Egypt was the waters that became blood. Moses tells Pharaoh that the sign is to let him know that God is the Lord. Pharaoh says, no, he will not let the Israelites go. Moses tells Pharaoh, if he refuses to let the people go, the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly that will go into their houses, their beds, and their ovens. Once again the Pharaoh says no. The third plague is lice. The plagues not only affected the Egyptians, but their households and their livestock. The fourth plague was flies. The fifth plague was their livestock became diseased and died. The sixth plague was boils. The seventh plague was hail. The eighth plague was locust and they ate all of the crops. The ninth plague was darkness over all the land. Finally, the tenth plague was the death of the firstborn. God tells Moses at the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh will let the people go. Each one of these plagues is representative of a false god that the Egyptians worshipped. The Lord God of heaven was showing the Egyptians that he alone is God and has power over the earth, livestock and the sun. In fact, the Pharaoh was told that he was a god, and with the death of his firstborn son he is unable to have control over Egypt. The Lord God instructs Moses to tell the Israelites to take all of the articles of silver and gold from the Egyptians as spoils of their bondage in Egypt. The angel of death descends upon Egypt and the firstborn of Egypt shall die. The Lord instructs Moses to take a lamb without spot or blemish. They are to kill it at twilight and take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost of the houses. The Lord tells Moses he will see the blood on the doorpost and the angel of death will pass over the household. The blood is a sign and this is instituted as the Lord's first Passover. The Lord God also instructs future generations to keep the Passover as a memorial to him. This is a beautiful testimony of the blood of Jesus in the New Testament, as he is the spotless Lamb who shed his blood, and we accept him and put the blood on the doorpost of our heart, and he passes over us, and we pass from death to life in Jesus Christ. God tells Moses to have their feet girded and their sandals ready, as the Pharaoh will release them from their bondage. God tells Moses and Aaron to gather the people together, that Pharaoh will release them and their children. They are to leave in haste and take all of their plunder from the Egyptians. A total population of the Israelites is estimated to be between 2 and 3 million people. The Israelites are assembled, and they are ready for their exodus to leave Egypt. Pharaoh changes his mind and he pursues the children of Israel with the intention of bringing them back to Egypt. God leads the people to the Red Sea. The Israelites are bewildered, and they see Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. While the situation looks impossible, we serve a mighty God. The people began to murmur, grumble, and complain against Moses, but they are actually complaining against God. They mock Moses and ask him if he brought them to the wilderness for them to die. They claim that they had things better in Egypt. When we look at our circumstances, it is easier to blame somebody than to take responsibility for our actions or ask the Lord God Almighty to do a miracle in our life. The Bible says that with one breath of his nostrils the Lord parted the Red Sea and the Israelites crossed over on dry ground. Moses raises his staff and commands the Israelites to cross the Red Sea. After the Israelites make it to the other side, the Egyptians are being held by a pillar of fire behind them. The Lord releases the pillar of fire and the Egyptians pursue the Israelites on horseback. In Exodus chapter 14, we see the waters cover the chariots and horsemen in the army of Pharaoh, as they are all drowned, not one person remained. In one day the Lord overthrew the entire army of Pharaoh. The Lord has done great things. He freed the Israelites. He made them wealthy beyond their wildest dreams with the plunder of Egypt, and he performed a miracle with a blast of his nostrils. We see in Exodus chapter 15 1-18 the people sing the song of Moses. However, this is short-lived rejoicing. We see that the people begin to murmur and grumble against Moses. Once again, as their stomachs grumble and they look for food and water, the people turn to Moses as their deliverer rather than to the Lord. Moses begins to get frustrated and asks them why they show contempt for the Lord. Once again, God performs a miracle. He tells Moses to speak to the rock and that water will flow from it. God provides water and manna from heaven for the entire 40 years of the journey in the wilderness for the Israelites. The Bible says that the Israelites' shoes never wore out, and God provided for their needs on a daily basis. We see God dictate to Moses the first 5 books of the law. These books cover the creation story in Genesis, the freeing of the Hebrew slaves in Exodus, the laws and 10 commandments in Leviticus, the chronicles of wandering in the wilderness in the book of Numbers, and historical references in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 32:51, we see Moses dies at Mount Nebo. Before he dies, God tells Moses that he will not be permitted to enter the promised land because Moses had trespassed against the Lord God Almighty. We see Joshua taking over for Moses and leading the people into the promised land with Caleb.